on November the 1st and All Souls on November the 2nd. It's a three-day triduum dedicated to remembering the dead, and I'm going to touch upon them all in perhaps a very different way. So tell us something new, Noel, okay? So hang on for the ride here. All Souls Day, November the 2nd. The institution of a day for the general intercession on November the 2nd is due to Odilo, the Abbot of Cluny, who died in 1048. The date, which became practically universal before the end of the 13th century, was chosen to follow All Saints Day. Having celebrated the feast of all the members of the church who are believed to be in heaven, the church on earth turns on the next day to commemorate those souls believed to be suffering in purgatory, which is not an Anglican doctrine. Purgatory is a bit like a halfway house, and that's why we ended up having a reformation, because bishops, not our bishop, bishops were exploiting the system by saying, oh, if you pay me money, I'll pray for your loved one and that'll get them out of purgatory. Right? It was corruption in the church. No one's ever seen that happen before, have they? No, no. After lighting a candle to celebrate All Saints Day, a practicing Catholic could offer prayers on the loved one's behalf, praying specifically for intercession for the loved one to be moved out of purgatory and into heaven. Cakes are baked, known as soul cakes. I don't know whether it's the same as having soul music, but it could be, and offered for loved ones in some cultures. Halloween has a 1,000-year history relevant to the Northern Hemisphere. It's about winter. It's about harvests. It's about ghosts and spirits, where it's very easy for Christians to make a lot of noise about devils and witches, etc. But from what I've seen, I like to think of Halloween in Australia, and you'll never get this word, as a bell snickling night. It's a dress-up night, a family affair, where Barbies walk hand in hand with Darth Vader, Spider-Man, lots of skeletons, zombies and ghosts, and whole households that indicate they're prepared to offer treats to their visitors by decorating their frontage and yards. And that's what Helen and I saw when we returned home on Tuesday to Lakelands, to be confronted by hundreds, I don't exaggerate, hundreds of people out on the streets. The park area around Yindana Lake was absolutely chockers with cars, and all shapes, this is not on looking at physical shape, all shapes of people were walking the streets, trick or treating, or just dressing up. They were in fact Bell Snickling. Who was Bell Snickle, you may ask? No, you didn't ask that, did you? Oh, I heard the question then. Who is Bell Snickle? Thank you, Helen. Bell Snickle was a companion to Santa Claus. He was not dressed in the grandiose cloak that adorned Santa, but in ragtag clothes and furs. And he carried a switch, a whip, and a bag of treats. And this is where the idea of naughty and nice comes from, because if a child was naughty, he got a smack from the switch he carried, or if they were good, a nice treat. Bell Snickling is a tradition that has its roots in Germany and America, where children dress up and visit people's houses, and if the house owners couldn't guess who they were given a treat. Back in the early days, that would happen where everybody knew everybody in town. Wouldn't happen these days. Prior to the 20th century, the gifts were nuts, coins, and toys. But in the 1950s, big lolly companies got in on the act and said, we think individually wrapped lollies would be a good thing to give out. So that's what they do. All Saints is about life and living, and life and living like all the saints. And it has a simple theme, and this is it: here and there. Now listen closely to what I'm going to say about here and there. Here is not there, and there is not here, and you can't get there without being here. Perhaps I should repeat that. Here is not there, and there is not here, and you can't get there without being here. Did you ever notice in life that here is here and there is there, and here is not there, and there is not here, and you can't get there without being here? When I was 4, I asked why I couldn't go to school, and my mother told me because I was not 5. When you're 5, then you can go to school. I was here, but I wasn't there. When I went to school at the age of 5, I asked when it would all be over. My mother told me, not until you're 17. That is, if you're done with high school and not going to university or a trade. At the age of 5, I was here and I was not there yet. But when I was 17, I asked when I could drink. This shows you how old I am. When you're 21, my mother told me. And you're not 21 yet. You're here, but you're not there. And I can keep going on about here and there, but I think by now you're getting the point. The point the readings for All Saints were making. First, here is not there. In 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. Here, not there. Growth and change are givens in life, and that's also true about us. Our spiritual lives grow even as our bodies grow. But here's something amazing for those of you who my age or older. Our spiritual lives continue to grow even though our bodies are through with growing, and not only through, but actually growing weaker. Even in that weakness that comes with ageing, there is something new. A new phase filled with assets and liabilities that frankly come with every age. I've talked about this before. We are being in the afternoon of our lives. The Apostle John wrote, what we are now is not what we will be. That's because God, who never changes, is constantly changing us to be more and more as he would have us be, fit for service, in harmony with his will, moral and whole, as was his only son, Jesus. The second point today is likewise true. There is not here. In Revelation, I looked and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. We believe that life as we know it is not all there is to life. Do you agree? Not too sure. Okay. The time of this life is but a drop in the ocean of time and much more. That's eternity. In the Christian faith, we believe that death is another phase of living, a living in an existence that is completely and totally peaceful. And we call that bliss. And how good is it there? Scriptures tell us they will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. Paul had this hope flaming in his heart when he said, I'm convinced that the troubles of this life are not comparing to the glory to come. Imagine a place where there's no death or sorrow or pain or fears. No warts or birthmarks or limps or aching joints or fading eyesight or broken organs. That's not complimenting you very much, is it? Such a place exists. And those who have died in Christ this past year are in that place. They are there and we need not grieve for them because there they wait for you and me. And someday we will join them. And there is only one way to get there. And that's what point three is about. We cannot get there without being here. That's what Jesus was getting at when in Matthew 5, 1 to 12, in the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are, for they will." Can you see the pattern? There was the present tense, "Blessed are," at the beginning of each phrase of the Beatitudes, followed by the future tense, "for they will." Jesus was telling us that life is hard now. "A hard service," said Job in the Old Testament, "full of sorrow and vexation." Psalm 90 tells us the span of life is but toil and trouble, and soon we are gone and we fly away. It may be tough now, but wait for what's coming. What is here is not what will be there. It's hard now, but the good will be complete when we are in heaven with them. No pain, no gain, said Vince Lombardi about football. No cross, no glory. We can't get there without being here. And do you notice one thing, the difference between here and there? The difference between the two is the letter T. The letter T in the alphabet most resembles the cross. When we look at the cross and lift high the cross, believing we see the Saviour in life who died and rose and lives on high for all to love and adore. And that being the case, when we live life in the shadow of the cross, even here, whenever here is delivering to you right now can be seen with all the blessings to come that is there. Now to God, who is able to do incredibly more than all we can ask or conceive by the Holy Spirit at work among us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ forevermore. Amen.